Hello, and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
I'm Anthony Casella.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And before we begin, we just wanted to thank Taria Faison from What Else Is Going On podcast for donating this week and buying us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com. Thanks, Taria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you are at home saying, I wish I was like Taria, don't worry, you can buy us a coffee too. Just visit buymeacoffee.com/knowthatpod. Great. So how have you guys been? This week was insane. How's your mental health? Let's do a mental health check-in.
I mean, we had a bunch of freaks attack the Capitol wearing cheap racist merchandise.
Also, like animal heads, too.
Like animal moose head, water buffalo, Flintstone clothes. But mostly it was like cheap racist merchandise. I did not expect that. I thought that we would see some kind of violence with everything that was going on with the incitement. But I at least thought that the Capitol was protected. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Washington, D.C. and actually visited the Capitol on a tour or anything like that. They barely let you even like speak. Like they're very, very guarded and secure. So to see that on TV, it was surreal to me.
This week was nuts. I don't know if it was for better or worse. I could not turn on my TV on Wednesday of last week, the day it happened.
Yeah.
So I couldn't kind of dip into the news like full-fledged in that way and watch it as it was happening. I, of course, was online and reading things and looking at everything I could on the phone. I still can't decide if it was better that I couldn't really be seeing it. I don't know. It is what it was. That's neither here nor there, of course. But it was just fucking wild and scary and nuts and kind of like, this is where we are.
Yeah.
And on top of it, great things happened on Wednesday that it was hard to be excited about or even kind of celebrate because worse things happened. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely overshadowed it. And I was trying to like post about how great those things were. And like, thank you to Stacey Abrams and all of that throughout the day and focus on that. But I had forgotten until you said it right now that any of those good things happened because it was so overshadowed by everything else.
I still like don't know. Like I'm still seeing like there's so much footage of it because everybody was stupid enough to record it. You get so many different angles and so many different things. It's like, you know, what is this this outrage to break in and for content? Like what this was, I still don't understand. Everybody involved looked stupid. It made the police look incompetent. And it took the whole Blue Lives Matter bullshit and just completely showed it for what it was. It's just, they literally like were screaming, you know, like we backed you. Like they wanted it to be reciprocated. Like they wanted, and to a certain degree it was. I'm not surprised. I don't think a lot of Black people in this country are surprised. I was only surprised that they got into the Capitol. I didn't think that it would go that far. Them walking out on not being arrested and all that, I'm not surprised by that.
Right.
Only one person being shot, a woman of all people. That I also, but I'm not surprised at what got them there. I'm not surprised this country got to that point. Everybody thought it was an overreaction. Black people knew it was no reaction. That's why Black people mobilized and voted the way we did. We knew that these suckers were here. Right. And we were all telling everybody, so-and-so discriminating against me at the job. This person did this to me. I think as a whole, white people don't want to realize that half of the population, half of white people in this country are racist.
Yeah.
Maybe not racist enough to do what those people did, but to vote that way. And we saw it live on television.
Well, that's what, to tie it in, I guess, with Housewives, that woman in the pink dress from Salt Lake City, Sarah, whatever, she was there and she like made a statement or whatever today. And she said, the people in the Capitol building were only like a percentage of who was actually marching. Just because we were marching doesn't make us bad, but okay.
You marched for the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. The purpose was still there just because you didn't go inside.
I was surprised with the fact that there were people who were in the Capitol who then just got to go back to their home states. Like, I'm still a little in disbelief about that. Like, you could be in the cap, you could break into the Capitol one day and then go back to Wisconsin to a Denny's or whatever right. you're doing in Wisconsin. Hello to our Wisconsin listeners. If I broke into a restaurant down the street overnight, I would be arrested.
Yeah.
So how are people, like, that is a little still mind-blowing to me. But Quinn, to what you said earlier, this was definitely any moral high ground that people against the Black Lives Matter protests, any people who were against the Black Lives Matter protests that thought they had some kind of moral high ground, this flipped it and exposed why their arguments against those protests, why they were just flimsy arguments and didn't matter. Because when you flipped it all and you factor in the police and everything, it was never about what it was about. There was right. never going to be anything that was good enough for protesting the deaths of unarmed Black men. Like, there was no way that anyone was going to be able to do that in a way that was going to satisfy them. And this flipped it, and this showed all those holes too.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of witnessing that day and since. I don't even know if it's a reckoning, a destruction of the Republican Party, maybe.
Mm-hmm. They've gotten to the point where you can't rally that base. What would the Stacey Abrams for the GOP look like?
Right.
David Duke? Like, they no longer have any issues. They have no platform to they're not even looking to gain voters. That's why they're cheating. They're not even trying to do that anymore. They can't do that. I found it disgusting. I found it infuriating, but also satisfying to see how they really felt about police, to see that they were not protesting against Black Lives Matter. They were protesting against Black people.
Right.
That is why they showed up as anti-protesters. What the fuck is an anti-protester? That came about because Black people were protesting this. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to come back, well, we don't like you either. That is what this was. They showed us what this was. All of a sudden, this officer doesn't have a family. He doesn't need to, you know, he's not just clocking in and trying to do a good day's work. I guess he was one of the bad apples they were talking about. And that's why they beat him to death. It's ridiculous. And here we are.
Yeah.
And it's not even... why they, stormed the Capitol. It's not even like a difference of ideology or like a difference of opinion. They stormed it because they believed that they were, I guess, doing their own protest of a stolen election where there's no proof that any election was stolen. Like, right. It's truly just like a fairy tale that a group of people believe.
It's not.
It's what we've seen happen over the years historically. Whenever people of color, specifically Black people, get too much power, too much of a voice, that's when you get a Tulsa. That's when you get a bombing of the Move, people like, you know, in Philadelphia. That's when these things happen. Because after a while, when Black people or people of color play by the rules and do it the right way and win, now we have to mess that up. We have to do something. And it's always some kind of violent pandemonium. Yeah. And back in the day, they take it to our neighborhoods. But they can't really do that anymore. So this was that. We saw that, and it's still going on. They're still planning stuff.
Right.
Leading up to the inauguration. That is what this was. They see now, this is just, we were able to do this just with Stacey Abrams organizing in Georgia.
Right.
Georgia could also, that could also happen in Mississippi. That could also happen in North Carolina. Those places have huge Black populations. Mississippi has more Black people than any other state. Like, this is something that could change the way politics for the rest. It's a huge time.
Right. Of course.
And they had to react. And this is how they reacted, because it's what they always do.
Yeah. It's dark and awful. And we're still very much like right in the middle of it. Like you said, we have the inauguration in less than 10 days, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm a nervous wreck. I don't know. I hope things get better. I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, anymore.
They're going to be bad. We're going to be dealing with domestic terrorism in this country for a while. And as things, from what I'm hearing online, like now a lot of people, these people in the GOP don't even want to vote, which means they're going to be less represented, which means they're going to be even more frustrated. So this whole dynamic where people of color and Black people thought my vote doesn't matter has now been flipped, because now Black people learn your vote does matter.
Right.
Yeah.
It does matter for you to show up. So this is going to change the landscape of politics for a while to come. And it also shows why Watchmen on HBO was so relevant. They showed a version of what I feel is very possible for a certain kind of white Republican in this country.
Yeah.
Definitely. How do you feel? Not how do you feel about what happened, but how are you? How are you?
How are you? I'm worried. I'm as Susan Collins would say, I'm concerned. But I feel vindicated, unfortunately. I feel like a lot of people see this for what it is. And I think lines will be drawn. I just want justice. I want justice for that police officer that died, because this was never really about hating the cops. It was about hating the system that allows cops to act the way right. they do. So I feel very bad about the loss of life. I even feel bad for those poor bastards that got killed in this ridiculousness.
Yeah.
I want justice for everybody that lost their life and everybody who was threatened and you know, property damages kind of on the side, because now that we've got to see inside the Capitol, that shit was ugly. The decor was terrible. Like, you know, insurrection is bad, but have you seen those drapes? Seriously.
Like, oh my God.
So this might be good for the Capitol, you know, that hotel carpeting, like this push this out. But I want justice, and I'm hopeful that we might get it. That's how I feel.
Yeah, it's sad. It's disgusting. It's infuriating. And it's what people have been screaming about for 4 years. Yeah. It's like the logical conclusion to what people have been kind of trying to ring the alarm about.
Mm-hmm.
And now there were people who were in bed with Trump because they thought that he could benefit them politically somehow, and they've you know, ridden that train, I guess. And this is where it went. And I think there's some soul searching that has to be done on that side. And you wonder if it's going to happen, because now I feel like the conversation's pivoting to censorship,
right?
With Trump being taken off Twitter, like the goalposts just keep moving, and mm-hmm. the conversation just keeps getting muddled. And it's like, is there no end to this? And when do people take a look at themselves? But then I guess you wonder, like, villains don't. I guess villains don't necessarily have to become heroes,
right?
So it's like, maybe these people won't wake up and realize.
Yeah. It's anything. Just crazy, because I feel like, quote, our side this whole time has just been asking to not support white supremacy. Like, don't put brown children in cages. Don't kill black people. And their side, like you said, the conversation has changed to censorship. I feel like, I agree with you, the goalpost is changing and what they're fighting for is changing. I feel like they just want to fight.
It's turned into another one of their rallying cries. It's like, you know, right. how when you talk about the deficit and taxes and all that stuff, you're talking about other stuff. And that's what this is now. They can't say, you know, going after people. First of all, anybody who understands the free market and capitalism realizes that nobody's being censored. The man who is saying he's being censored has news available. He can wake up at 4 a.m. making a sandwich and say, I want to give a press conference.
Yeah.
And everybody from every network would come to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
But because he's demonized those networks and tried to find a way to circumvent them so he doesn't have to be held accountable by those things, now he's saying he has no voice.
Right.
So it's a bullshit argument. He can say whatever he wants anytime he wants and everybody will hear it. We just don't got to see those damn garbage fire tweets, which I'm happy about. I'm very happy he's off Twitter.
Yeah, before tweets, there were press releases. And
exactly.
Those are at Trump's disposal. So this idea that this man has no way of getting his thoughts, ideas, or plans out to the American people is just lunacy.
But look at how he never, ever, like, when was the last time during the course of the Trump administration, when has he sat down with any black media company or anybody to talk to? He completely ignored us. He completely did not. He never did that. He's never done that. If you don't like him, he doesn't talk to you. It's just that simple. And then somehow we're supposed to believe it's no way he lost. Seriously.
Right.
you're only present to 30% of the population, and then somehow we're supposed to be surprised you lost. It's all just crazy bullshit. Yeah.
So on that note, listener, grab a drink, go to the bathroom, shake it off, because there's no real segue into talking Housewives with Nikki Blonsky. So pause this for a second, collect your thoughts, and then we're going to talk Housewives with Nikki Blonsky. You look like a music video.
80 chic.
Yeah, oh my gosh. But right, went with the hair and everything, really.
It's working for you.
It's very Tiffany's. Yeah, I feel it.
It's a great look.
Yeah.
It's
a choice.
Good choice.
Good choice.
So we are here with Nikki Blonsky. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thank you for coming.
How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm doing well.
I've been a fan for a long time. And then when I found out you were a Housewives fan, I said, oh, we need to get her on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been a Housewives fan. Well, see, I think it was weird. I think the Housewives were pretty much like had just gotten started. I think at the same time Hairspray was coming out. So it was like, or they were like a few years before us. And I remember that just like, poof,
yeah,
just it took off. And I remember the OC. I mean, I go all the way back to Gina and the OC. And,
Early days, early days.
Early days. I love the early days.
So what is your favorite Housewives city?
That's tough because I'm from New York, so I'm supposed to say New York, but right? But then I played Tracy Turnblad, so I should really say Potomac, right? Baltimore,
right? No,
I'm like, okay, wait. But honestly, I have to say, I think for me, I enjoy watching Beverly Hills the most. But my favorite was the it was over in the UK.
It was not Ladies of London.
No, it wasn't Ladies of London.
Okay.
It began with the C. Oh my gosh. Cheshire. Yes.
Oh yes, yes.
I was obsessed. Obsessed. I thought the English accents, oh my gosh, the most regal thing ever.
You beat us. I didn't even watch that.
I know. I've never seen
it. No, I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh. Do yourself a favor. They are fabulous. Fabulous.
Well, now
I went international on us. I'm waiting.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that.
Jersey, Atlanta, hit us with Cheshire.
Yeah, hit us with that.
I mean, I do love New York, obviously, and Jersey, of course, of course, of course.
Of course.
But I love all the cities.
Yeah, they're
good.
All
fun they all and have different something. In their own ways.
Yeah.
Right, what's not to love? Yeah.
Before we move on to talking about this week's Housewives, let's talk about you. What are you up to and how have you been?
I am not being a housewife. That's how I am. No, I am. I've been, you know, I just moved out to LA actually to film a movie. And so I'm out here and we're on break right now for the holidays. And then once everything's back, we're going to go back. But it's been interesting filming during COVID, but it's been happening and it's been fun. So I'm here doing that and doing my podcasts and writing my book and just trying to get everything done.
Yeah. You have a lot on your plate.
You're busy.
I like to keep myself busy because if I don't, then my mind starts to wander and, you know, it's like I'm my own worst enemy. I need to keep myself occupied. I'm terrible. Like I used to be able to just like flip on the TV and like zone out. Now, like I'm like that even. Like I can't even get into certain things anymore. I'm like, well, you need to relax, lady.
Yeah, like TV is not calming anymore. Like everything on TV is so like intense. So yeah.
Well, first of all, they're not wearing masks, so that gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything about the movie you're working on?
The movie, actually, you know what? I can't say much about it, but all I can say is that it's a movie that I'm really excited that it's being made right now. I believe now is a time that it's needed more than ever. It deals a lot with social injustice. I'm sorry, my alarm is going off.
At no problem. It's like
ridiculous.
That's okay. You probably have somewhere to be. You're so busy.
No, it's my phone. I don't know why it does this, but it's like every 5 minutes, it's like, hey. I'm like, yeah, I'm still here. Thank you.
That's exciting. Can I ask you about the book you're writing? Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah. So the book basically started, I got up one morning and I was like, I think I should just, because I had been talking to my friends during the quarantine and, you know, as we all were spending more time talking and FaceTiming with our friends and whatever. And I found myself telling my friends my stories, you know, from my travels around the world and with Hairspray and stuff. And they were like, this needs to be in a book. And I was like, you know, my mom's been saying that for years, that I should write a book. And they're like, we think your mom's right. And I was like, I think she is too. So yeah, I started writing it. It is nowhere near finished. I look at it and I think about editing it and I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't even know how that's going to happen. I apologize to my future editor because, wow, it's a lot, but it's my story and it's my truth. And it is, I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. I think a lot of people have had like a certain, you know, view of me or whatever of Hairspray, but I think this is really a full insight to like the whole Blonsky experience.
I'm excited. It sounds like it's time.
Thank you. It's going to be fun. I mean, it might not be as spicy as one of the housewives, but
I'm sure there's spice in there.
It sounds like it might be. Yeah, yeah. I'm into it. I'm going to be looking out for it.
There's definitely some spice in there. Definitely. Of course. Of course.
Of course.
And then not to just have you come on and list your resume, but tell us about your podcast.
My podcast is something I started during the quarantine as well. I was like, I was doing a live, an Instagram live, and Jonathan Lipnicki, the actor, popped on and I was like, oh my gosh, I was so excited because I'm such a fan of his. And I said, would you go live with me? And he went live and I interviewed him for about 45 minutes. And then I was like, I really like this. And so I decided to make it like an Instagram live show. And then from there, I asked Ricky Lake if she would do it. And she did it. And Carney Wilson did it. And then we made it a podcast. And now it's on Spotify and iTunes, I think, and YouTube. And I love it because I get to talk to all different people that I've looked up to. I mean, I've always looked up to Scott Hamilton, the Olympic gold medalist. I think he's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And for me to be able to sit down and interview him, one of my personal heroes, that was a really cool moment in my life. So, I mean, it's been really awesome to get to know people that maybe I wouldn't have come across, you know, or as
other. Yeah,
of course. That's awesome. What's the name of the podcast?
It's Nikki Knight.
Ooh. All right. Cool.
Now, wait, is this something that you would like want to do as a career move? Like, could you be like replacing Ellen?
Oh my gosh. Well, could anybody really replace Ellen?
Yes.
I mean,
if you're asking us, the answer is yes.
Look, this has honestly been a passion of mine since the beginning. I love people. I love talking to people. I love sharing my journey, but I speak about my journey all the time, right? In interviews, my favorite thing is hearing other people's journeys and hearing how they got to where they are and what makes them tick and what makes them are. And so that's been one of the most fun things about this whole thing. And so I may have started out as, you know, just an actress, but now I definitely think that hosting is something that I would definitely love to make, you know, a career move.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think you have the personality for it as well.
Yeah, 100%.
I just genuinely care about people. Like, I'm a person, I can tell you, like, and I'm not trying to, like, make myself sound great, but, like, I can tell you, like, this is how I feel about people. Like, I just always live by the motto of my grandmother always taught me, treat people the way you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. you know, that's kind of just how I live my life. And I believe a little kindness goes a long way. And so, you know, I just want to spread a good message. That's all.
Yeah, that's great.
That's very
commendable. With good yeah. lighting.
Incredible.
Well, you're lighting. In the place for it then. So I know we came here to talk about Housewives. We talked about what you did, but before we get into it, I can't have you on the show without talking about Hairspray a little bit. I know it's been 13 yeah. years ago, but I have to, Nikki.
Has it? Was it 13 years ago or 13 months ago?
I mean, Let's say months. It was a long time? Quarantine. Yeah.
It was a long quarantine. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You know, I have to say that I'm not a big musical person, and I had actually not seen Hairspray before I met Donnie. Donnie was like, you have to watch it. And I really enjoyed it. And like, this is somebody who does not, I'm not a musical person at all.
Oh, well,
I really
you.
Did enjoy it.
I have
thank
a similar
you.
Story. I saw the movie Hairspray. Donnie,
I saw that
know,
too. Yeah.
I did not know about the intellectual property Hairspray prior to meeting Donnie. And he dragged me to see the movie and I loved that. I loved you in it.
I'm just
it's a really good work.
Yeah, I'm a Nikki Blonsky disciple. What can I say?
It truly
oh,
is.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. It's an honor to have you. but no, it's what I think, you know, the magic of Hairspray is I think it has that message. It has heart and, you know, it really shows its heart, but also it just has those songs and those beats behind it that just make you want to sing and dance and move with it. I mean, I can't, if the songs are on, I'm not sitting still. Not happening. Like I can't help myself.
They're good. Do you have any favorite memories on set?
Oh my gosh. I mean, every memory is a favorite memory, honestly. I remember my 18th birthday on set. That night was wild because they decided it was so my 18th birthday on set. It was the scene where I got hit in the face with dodgeball. So everybody's all excited. Who's going to get the chance to, you know, aim dodgeballs at my face? So this was my 18th birthday. And it was actually our executive producer, Garrett. He ended up getting me the take that they used in the he just nailed me right in the face. And I was like, yeah, I think that's the one. but yeah, it was so fun. We celebrated my birthday. I remember the producers were so kind and they were like, who's your favorite actor in Hollywood? And I was like, I love Sean Hayes. And I remember Sean called me on my birthday. So it was really, really sweet.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that is sweet.
And then one last question. If you ever did another movie musical, what one would you want it to be?
Oh.
I know the hard-hitting journalism over here, Nikki.
God. I mean, I'd like to take my turn at Sally Bowles.
Oh, okay.
I am into that. That
look
would
at
be
her
great.
Crimping her hair as she says it.
I'm just saying, like, you ready. Know, I am in, you know, I'm in my 30s now. You know, I'm just I it's fun, you know. I've played a lot of different roles in musical theater. Like in high school, that was my main thing, was like the high school shows. And my favorite role was Mrs. Lovett and Sweeney Todd. Like that was so much fun. So I mean, any female lead like that, I would just love to just sink my teeth into.
And I think you would. And I would buy a ticket.
Yeah, I could see you doing both of those roles incredibly.
Thank you.
Of course. So now let's talk about why you are here. Let's jump right into Real Housewives of Dallas. Have you ever watched Dallas before this season?
Yes.
Okay.
Just once.
Okay. So this week we got introduced to a new housewife, Tiffany Moon. What are our overall feelings about her?
I love her.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
I think she's a great addition.
I do too. I think she brings something very real and important to the cast. I had a feeling that she's definitely delivered so far. There were a lot of, you know, I'm on her side with things that I already see that are lining up that are happening in the show with her. And I'm like, I'm on Tiffany's side, of course. So I really like her.
Yeah.
I thought she was really sweet and she came across very genuine. I'm all about genuine. So thumbs up. I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's your journey.
She also seemed really comfortable on camera, and that's hard. That usually doesn't happen for a first year housewife. And I didn't get any sense.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
she's a doctor too. So it's not like this is like an actress or somebody, like, you know, this is completely different from what I would imagine she does every day.
Yeah, 100%. She didn't seem to be putting out any airs. I truly just felt like we were getting someone who just like walked in and was giving us exactly who she gets when she's giving when she's running errands or she's out with friends. Like, it just seemed like the same woman.
Yeah, her scenes with her family too, I feel like, were very natural. They're just ready to be stars.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good look. It's a good look for this show that Tiffany Moon has decided to come down from her pedestal and join the show.
Yeah. We haven't, to the best of my knowledge, we've never had an MD on Housewives before.
I guess I can't think of one.
I can't think of it either.
Not still actively working as one, especially.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. It's a first.
So thank you, Tiffany, for breaking ground.
True.
Let's talk about the big plot issue. Other things happened this week as well. Cameron's garage sale and slip
estate
and slide.
Sale.
Yeah, estate sale, excuse me. And a slip and slide in Stephanie's backyard, or Brandy's backyard. But the big plot of this episode was Brandy's video and how the other women were kind of telling Tiffany how to feel and telling Brandy whether she was or wasn't forgiven. So let's just jump into that. What do we think about the video, about the women?
After watching last season's reunion, I found it very odd that so many people are coming out and supporting Brandy, who took such a big stand against Leanne, which she has her rights to feel that way. Like, nobody's telling her she was wrong for that. But this is such a shift. And, you know, like, you know, it's not in her heart. She's not, this isn't who she is. And for them to be telling Tiffany how she should feel about it, I thought was very tone deaf. It was very, not surprising. I do get the feeling that Tiffany was not swayed, that she thinks what she thinks, she feels what she feels. And I'm happy that we got to see that. But it was very hard to watch as a, you know, as a person of color to watch, you know, these white people defend what this white woman did. And tell this woman of color that, you know, don't take it this way. Like, this isn't who she is. And, you know, that's just not a good look. And it's really galling, especially if you add into last season's reunion. It's very like, what the fuck?
Yeah, for Brandy to have last season brought out a folding chair and told Leanne, you can't sit on the same sofa as me because you're racist. And then this year we see this video. There's definitely some hypocrisy that... that is a little odd to watch.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think it's tough too, because the narrative going into this episode and coming out of it seems to be that the show's trying to tell us Brandy is the victim and survivor of her own racism.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an odd choice to put the viewer essentially on the side of Brandy, so that by the time we got to what would be Tiffany's point of view of being an Asian woman coming into this show, but also the situation with this woman who made this video, it was at the end of the episode and they cut her off. It was a to be continued, as though someone was having a hissy fit at a dinner party. It was an odd way to tell this story.
I agree. I feel like there wasn't one scene where Brandy was talking about her side of it where she didn't mention that she had to go to a mental health facility. And I feel like we just framed the episode around, like, she was pushed to her limit, whereas we're bringing Tiffany in almost with a villain edit. Because she's a single, not single woman as in terms of marriage, but she's a single cast member coming into this group, and she's the reason for this discourse. She's the reason that Brandy has to be uncomfortable at this dinner, when in actuality it was Brandy filming that video.
Hmm. Yeah. I also thought it was odd that they didn't...
Go ahead.
Nikki, go ahead, Nikki. Come on, Nikki, come on.
This whole story gives... This whole narrative gives me LVP vibes.
Oh, how so?
Because I feel like Brandy... that's okay. LVP had this way of like, you know, plotting something and then being something big would happen, and then oh my gosh, no, how could no. I love Lisa, by the way. I think she's amazing. Like, I think she's a brilliant businesswoman, but this is what I'm saying. Like, I get LVP vibes from Brandy, where Brandy, like, she's a plant seeder, like she'll plant it, something will go off, and then oh no, how could I possibly ever, when I feel like, you know, no. It's clear that the show, it's, you know, they've been with her all along, you know.
Yeah, she's definitely trying,
rather.
Yeah, she's definitely trying to play the victim after being the one that did something wrong. And I agree with you 100%.
And yeah. I don't have the tweet pulled up, nor do I have the timeline. This isn't a journalistic show, but they did not go out of their way to show us the tweet that Brandy put up after she had been initially called out for the video, where I believe she said something to the effect of, it's a funny video, I would submit it for an SNL impersonation again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of a missing, that was a missing element.
That should have been added to, you know, what she did. And, you know, she's,
I would say, some, yeah.
There was a time during Mad TV where that was acceptable, you know, like Alex Borenstein, who I love, very talented comedian and actress. She became basically almost famous from doing that right. kind of impersonation. But we've moved forward, you know, in these years to know that these things are hurtful to certain communities and we don't do them. And I get, you know, I understand as a comedian, meaning I can understand where, you know, being funny and people being offended meet. But at the same time, you know, there's punching down. There's a change in view. It also wasn't funny.
Right.
Like, that's first and foremost. It was not funny. It was just, it was tired. It looked weird because our kids were there. This was somebody who's done this before. This is not one thing. You know, when Stephanie was like, you know, you made one mistake. And what was that? Hit and send? This is indicative to who Brandy is.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she was projecting over Leanne. And here's the proof, because, you know, the chickens always come home to roost, and here they are. And I think it's BS for it to be like, she made this one terrible mistake. No, you don't just start making fun of Asian people. You've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And you've been making fun of other people for years, and we just don't know it. So I think it's right. BS edit. It's a slap in the face to the Asian community. If it had been a Black person, they would have not done this. Mm. It would have not gone this way. And so that's why it's unfair for them to treat the Asian community that way, because they would not do that to the Black community.
And there's a lot of pressure on Tiffany as an individual, too, to come in and have this whole group be against you from the beginning because someone was racist against you. And I'm glad that Tiffany is... Nobody should have to take that, but I'm glad that Tiffany is the woman that was cast to take on this burden, because it looks like from the preview for the season that she's not going to take it.
No, Tiffany can handle it. Yeah. Tiffany can handle it. And it's just a tough pill to swallow as a Dallas fan, for us to be told this is just some small mistake Brandy made, but we were to believe that the mistakes or what Leanne did last season was the totality of who she is.
Yeah.
Whereas it can't be both things for different, it mm-hmm. can't be different things for both women.
Right. And especially when they're like, you know, and not to glorify or make excuse for what Leanne did. Leanne made mistakes. She shouldn't have done what she did. But like, bringing a racial aspect to it, this is a racial attack on an entire community that now this woman has to deal with on this show. Whereas, yeah, Leanne made some really bad remarks about Mexican people. But at the end of the day, what did Carrie, that woman, do? She supported Brandy.
Right.
At the end of the day, Carrie, like I said before, is a white woman. She may be from Mexico. She may speak Spanish. Her culture may be Mexican. But Carrie is a white woman. And she's stuck with this other white woman as they really threw Asians and Tiffany under the bus. And I feel like that's the truth. That's what we all saw.
Yeah.
As a person of color, she never would have done that. No Black person, no Asian person, no one would have ever been cool with that.
You're right. When she said, if she doesn't, or if people don't take your apology, that's on them. Or whatever she said. It was something similar to that, where she brought her into the closet, the same closet where they compared vaginas. We'll get into that in a second. But when she said...
It's because Leanne did it out of anger. But Brandy was racist out of fun. So, yeah,
so that makes it better. Not as bad. Right. Well, I guess we're here then. We're at the vagina comparing, so we might as well just talk about it.
The vagina monologue.
I'm friends with a lot of women, and I've never seen this happen. Nikki, does this happen behind closed doors with women?
Look, I'm a lesbian.
Like it happens. She's like, I see it all the time.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not like maybe, but no, like vaginas are not just falling out of the sky. Like no, like I don't know. At least the people I'm going on dates with, it takes work to, you know, but like, no, you know, I've never done like that. I don't know. Like, I've never heard of, like,
I've never referred to as gobblers.
Nikki, you're just not I've going to group of, lunches like, and then walking to the pantry with a no, stranger. You've
I've heard, okay. I've heard of like, you know, guys compare, oh, like mine's bigger or whatever.
Right.
But like, girls, like, no, you're just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's something, I don't know, because I honestly don't sit there when I go into a group with my friends and I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, let's all, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Like, and I may be gay, but I don't want to see it unless I'm dating you. I don't want to see it.
And I'm not a lesbian, so I don't have a lot of experience. But I don't really know. I know that they look different, but I don't really know if it needs to be compared.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, true. let each vagina lie where it's going to lie.
I think that's in the Bible, right? That's Paul.
Verse 3:1. Yes, yes. Yeah, this is a Catholic school. I went to Catholic school. I mean,
let's vagina lie.
Oh my god,
it's funny because like I watched the gold, like, you know, His Dark Materials, which is, you know, based on the Golden Compass, which I also read, and it's funny because the gobblers are the ones who take children. So my mind went, is that why it's called that?
Like, you know. No, they were comparing it to turkey necks, which I don't know why you would brag about your body part looking like that.
This is
yeah Yikes.
Anyway, I think we said all we had to say about Dallas. Let's head on to Salt Lake.
Yes, let's head on over to Salt Lake. Nikki, are you watching Salt Lake?
I just got into it. I filmed a movie many years ago in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I loved it. Like, mm-hmm. It was just beautiful, the scenery. I loved being there. But I never met any of the housewives, so I'm being introduced to them for the first time, and they're interesting. Wow, a lot of fur,
a lot of feathers,
a lot of drama,
lots of fur and feathers,
sartorial drama.
Who's hitting your right on Salt Lake? Who are you taking to? Who do you like?
Well, the lady with the long blondish kind of straight hair, very, very strong personality.
Heather?
I noticed I was watching her most. She seemed more like in charge.
Yeah, Heather's pretty in charge. That's a great segue, actually, because I'm looking to hear what everyone thought of Billy. How did Heather's ex-husband Billy sit with everyone?
I think divorce was the best thing to happen to her because I've never seen somebody who looked more incapable of pleasing a woman than that man that walked in that door. And
Oh my God.
If this is what you're stuck with, if this is what your religion tells you you need to be with and you have no identity without him, well, I think everything worked out exactly the way it should. I was very underwhelmed by him. Very like, what is this? Who is this?
I thought somebody
left the door open and somebody walked in on.
I'm happy they're divorced so Heather can see more comedies in the movie theater.
I wasn't taken back or really impressed he was here nor there for me. Like I'm just happy she's doing her thing, hopefully living her best life and real seeing other wonders of the world other than Billy.
Or seeing a Wonder of the World. Didn't she say that he withheld sex from her?
Yes, oh, because she laughed at Scary Movie 3's glory hole scene.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
Yeah, that's control.
First of all, but, like, him withholding sex, that's, like, somebody, like, withholding, like, I don't know, the common cold. Like, nobody really, do you think she really wanted it? No.
Yeah, these seemed like two people who got together for the wrong reasons, and it's good that they found themselves away from each other.
Yeah. I was interested in this, I said vagina day, Valentine's Day gift exchange. It seemed like it should have been a Christmas episode, and then they just had to throw in Valentine's Day. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. A whole, like, sit-down family gift exchange seemed odd.
That seemed odd for me, too. I mean, I don't even think you should give... I don't think it's really normal for you to, like, even give your children gifts on Valentine's Day or to give your parents gifts. I'm like, in my house, I never had to worry about using my allowance to buy my mother something for Valentine's Day. I'm not married to you. Why am I buying you stuff? Like, this is between you and that man who always yells at us to turn off the lights and stuff. You and him can go off and do whatever y'all gonna do. That ain't nothing to do with me.
Yeah, you're right.
I used to hate having to buy Valentines for all the kids in the class that I was with. And you had to go those around
Target
and drop
Target bundles. Yeah,
like they had to, you have to make sure there was 30 to like cover the amount of kids in your class. That's how many kids were in my class. And you have to like
I was bad. Them. If I didn't like you, I didn't give you one.
Oh, we weren't allowed to do that.
That's incredible.
I would not do. I'd be like, look, what can I tell you? I only got 12.
I only got 12.
Because those kits were not made to give enough to the class. They came like hot dogs and buns. You know how they're an uneven amount? That's how it is with those like Valentine's.
7 and 8.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to have all the friends you think you're going to have by the end of Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Valentine's Day is a squirrely holiday, isn't it? With like...
Yeah.
Squirrely. Yeah.
I feel like people are either like, oh, they're full force ahead with it because they're in love, so they have a reason to be. And then either or people are like, absolutely not. This is ridiculous.
Or they're married and they have to do it.
Yeah.
Valentine's.
That old chestnut marriage. Yeah.
4 weeks, another Valentine's Day coming up.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding, Donnie. I'm looking forward to our Valentine's.
Yeah, me too. Moving on.
Let's talk about what was the meat of this episode was the party that Jen was throwing for her husband, Sharif. Now, let's start with, what did we think of Jen not inviting Mary to this party? It seemed to really kind of hurt Mary. It didn't really surprise me. I mean, it's a party Jen's throwing for her husband and Jen doesn't love Mary. So I was kind of like, seemed fine to me, but am I not as sensitive as Mary?
She should have just had it at a 7-Eleven.
And then Mary went.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, I agree. And I think when Jen had to plan Meredith's party, she invited Mary because that wasn't, you know, for her. But now that it's for her husband, thrown by her, of course, someone that you don't like and doesn't really like you won't be invited.
Especially after that disastrous brunch they had.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It wasn't like a cast brunch. It was like a party for her husband.
Right.
I will say... this is a separate thing. I felt bad for how sad it made Mary, and I thought the phone call with her husband and grandfather was sweet.
Yeah, if you can,
I didn't care.
If you can put, I wasn't sad for Mary, if you can put the sigh to the side, the fact that her husband is her grandfather, their marriage seems normal to me. And this is not the first time I've said that.
I see a sweetness there.
Yeah,
maybe any remorse I have for her went away when she didn't know how many houses she owned. When I found, the more I found out how much money Mary has through that church, I don't care. Like she doesn't have feelings. She's just a corporation. She's a faceless, nameless corporation to me. Like, how do you not know how many properties you own?
And
like,
then she doesn't rent them out. They're just empty when she's not there.
We don't share. Oh, that's the church motto.
Like, I know how many pairs of socks I have, Mary. Like, what do you, like? Right. What?
She sat there and said she didn't share, that she was basically beholden to material things.
Yeah.
This is somebody who runs a church. Get out of here with that. I wouldn't invite her to my party either.
Mary lives in a world where people all over Salt Lake City are just throwing up, walking in it, and then going into homes.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Thank God. Mary's a trip. So let's get to Jen's party. First question I have for the group. Do you believe Mary when she says that both on separate occasions, Lisa and Meredith have told Mary that they are afraid of Jen? Did they say that? What do you think?
I believe. Okay, here's what I think. I feel like I could see both of them saying that they are afraid of how Jen might react to certain things, that there's certain things they don't want to talk to her about or mention to her. And I don't think that's because they're afraid of her. It's just that they don't want to deal with the scene that Jen has no problem making.
Right.
That is what I believe was most likely said.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I also think Mary is not here with us on planet Earth. So it's very possible that on a phone call with either Meredith or Lisa, Mary had expressed her fear of Jen and her thoughts of Jen, and Meredith and or Lisa had said, you know, I see that, I could understand that. And Mary is interpreting this as, you know, these people are also afraid of Jen. Right. So it doesn't seem like it's just her.
She's not a reliable narrator. No.
Yeah. No, I think either of those sounds like it could have happened. I think that she didn't pull it out of her ass, but I think that they didn't say it either.
Yeah. Nikki, would you be afraid of Jen?
No.
Are you?
No.
No. No, I'm from New York. Like, we're very rarely, it takes a lot to shake us.
I hear that.
Yeah. So was this, let's get into this because this was wild and thrilling. Whitney decided to work up the liquid courage or the liquid something to try and go up to Jen and tell her, I think she intended to say, I thought she was going to stand up for Mary and say, you know, like stand up for her friend who was hurt. That's not quite what Whitney did. I'm not sure what Whitney did, but it was definitely more along the lines of telling Jen that, Meredith and Lisa are afraid of her and they're telling Mary. And then then the 1-2 punch of telling Meredith that Jen is talking about her marriage. Was this the right place, right time for any of this?
So you said you don't know what Whitney was doing or what Whitney did. I think what Whitney did was get drunk, and then a producer ran and said, this bitch is drunk. We're let's get her to blow. And that's exactly what happened. The fact that it was at Sharif's birthday, I think this was produced, and not by the women. The women were genuine, I think, and acting how alcohol made them act, but I could see strings behind the scenes saying, like, send her out.
Definitely. It went on for 3 minutes too. It was like, Jen, I'm coming to you with a loyalty. You know that I'm a straight shooter. Wait, let me do it again. Like, it went on for 3 minutes.
It was
as angry as Jen was by the time Jen was angry.
Yeah, we were watching it in real time, and that made me, it was more thrilling.
I love the look on Jen's face when she got to the part about her talking about Meredith, though. Like, what are you doing that for? It was good. And like, Whitney, I know this probably doesn't matter, but I thought Whitney was so adorable, causing trouble.
Oh, yeah, she looked great.
It was like not even like physically, it was like a puppy doing something really bad. And
like after they pee and they know yeah.
But like more like you caught the dog like shredding something, and it looks so adorable, but it is really fucking it up. And she was like smiling and all that stuff, and she was like clearly drunk, and it was, I enjoyed it.
Good. Her phrasing too was so interesting. She was like, because I was very surprised to hear that Jen, and like, it was, the phrasing was so odd, but
and that's why I think production was involved.
Yeah, it was like a loose script that she was trying to remember.
But I mean, it worked for me.
I also love her break dancing while her husband was playing golf. Like, that was also a nice little thing. Like, your wife is pretty much, she's twerking the air. She's on her head twerking. And he's just teeing off over there like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, in his defense, he was golfing, so he didn't know what was going on in there. But he does now.
Yeah, the party seemed like a lot of fun, too. It did. I felt that Jen's anger, two separate conversations. I felt that Jen's anger was justified. I also think that Jen might have a little bit of an anger problem, which is fine. We're not new to anger problems in our housewives. I bring you to Teresa. Before Portia Luther King, Portia had a temper herself. This is quite compelling, I think. I just wish it didn't let her. I wish her anger didn't let her like ruin the party for her.
Yeah.
I did find her son having to calm her down to be dark.
Yeah, I think her anger was justified. She lost me when she brought that anger and her issues to Sharif, whose party it was. If she would have just went outside with whoever, Meredith, or I mean, I guess she didn't really have anyone to talk to. Heather, maybe, but ruining Sharif's night is when I was like, okay, Jen, maybe not.
Yeah, I wish she could have let it like roll off her shoulders. Nikki, what makes you angry? Like, you're at a party having fun. What could if someone runs up to you, they say what, and you throw a glass?
Oh, gosh, I've never thrown a glass. But, if I don't really care if people say things to me. That I don't care about. You could say, call me whatever, say whatever. It's if you do something to somebody I care about or I love, like, then I get defensive and then like little 4'10" me, you know, I want to speak up and my friends are like, no, you know, I mean, I really don't. I'm that person like that goes home and goes, oh, I had so many good comebacks. But I didn't see them. Like, you know, yeah. I'm that person. But what really grinds my gears is just when like people like go after people that I love, you know, like it's not that hard to be nice. Like, it's not that hard. Like, it's not some, you know, some crazy thing you have to do. It's just, you know, just be a little gentler towards people.
I get it.
Yeah, I agree. Love that.
And I'm the opposite. I'm always the one like, I shouldn't have said that. Damn.
I was happy Whitney did this. It was sloppy, but I was happy she did it because I feel like we're going to coast to the end of the season on this.
Yeah.
Different little pockets of fighting popping up. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And I do think that even if Meredith and or Lisa have maybe expressed being scared of Jen, they're both adults, so they knew not to admit to it at that party. Like, to just kind of like, we're not scared of you. No, I'm not scared of anyone. But I also don't believe they are scared of her. We haven't seen anything where they would be scared of her. What scares me is Meredith's refusal to engage in conversations. Now, I thought the first time a few episodes ago, she said, I'm done engaging. I thought that was fun. This time she did it again, and it hit me differently because it's not that she's not getting involved in the conflict or fighting. It's that she is announcing she doesn't want to have a conversation. So she's not even kind of like, who is Adrian Maloof in this world? Adrian Maloof, like, conflict resolution. She's literally just saying like, I'm done with the conversation. With a smile, like a self-satisfied smile. This concerns me for Meredith's longevity on this program. How does everyone else feel?
I feel that with her facial work she's had done, she's limited her range of emotions that she can show. We're not going to get like, you know, yelling and screaming and all of this. We're not going to get a range of emotions from her. Nothing about her is flappable easily anyway.
Yeah.
And if she keeps shutting it down, I mean, producers are going to have no reason to film her. So you're basically just exiting yourself out, you know?
Absolutely. You're hired to engage.
That's like, you know, it's like, it's like, you know, Guy Fieri refusing to taste something on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Right.
That's his job. He's like one of my personal heroes. I love that man. And he's got to try it. So yeah, no, that's kind of how I feel.
It's what you're like there for, man.
From home going, I'm done participating in the Zoom meeting. Like, no, it's your job to participate or do something.
Right. Yeah. It's like me saying, I'm done saying Good Morning Baltimore forever. No, I'm going to say it till the day I die.
Nikki, one last question in Salt Lake for you. What do you think of Brooks? What do you think of Brooks?
We won't move out.
Well, see, that's the thing right there. If you hate affection between your parents, but you won't move out, it's quite counterintuitive here, buddy. So,
it's like, a simple math problem.
Either get used to the fact that mom and dad are going to have cuddle time while you're home, or you need to maybe get up, get out, get an apartment, and go have cuddle time of your own and be happy. Live your best life. Let mom and dad live theirs.
Right.
Yeah. They're supposed to be empty nesters. Their children are all grown.
Yeah. I think Brooks needs some cuddle time.
Well, he was in New York. I think he's in New York now, so he maybe found it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, hey, we can hope and pray.
I think that's going to do us in Salt Lake. This was a thrill of an episode. I ended up kind of really siding with Jen, and I hope that side will have me, because I've been on the other side of the field for a while. But I was into her. I thought she was compelling. I'm into the anger issues. I'm into like the dichotomy between the way she is with her husband and the way she is, not that she's mean with the other ladies, but there's just like a different side of Jen. I can't really figure it out, because the only other housewife I can kind of map to it with is Kenya, but that's not even fair, because Mark was an asshole and Sharif seems like a sweetie. So I'm not sure where it's coming from with Jen, but I'm into it.
I'll talk to the Shaw squad and see if you're welcome. I'll get back to you.
Please do. I want merch. Jen, shamazing. Make it happen.
We're ready to go to Atlanta, right?
Oh, we are.
Yes. Take us.
I'm happy we left it on the party note, because we have Cynthia's party that happened in Atlanta, which it looked like the most sparsely attended event ever. But there weren't supposed to be a lot of people there because of, you know, restrictions. But the space made it look like nobody wanted to come. But I think the worst part is that the one person who was supposed to be there that everybody thought would be there wasn't, which was Joe Biden. So let me explain this. Cynthia had a party for her engagement thrown for her by Kenya. It was purported to be something other than what we all found it to be. The guests, the other housewives in the cast, were expecting to see a nice big, you know, event. Joe Biden was supposed to be there because he wanted the black woman vote. It was supposed to be, you know, dressed to impress, a white party, all of this. Instead, we got what looked like a poorly attended, I don't know, baby shower. My thing is, how mad would you be if you went to a party that was supposed to have, I don't know, Joe Biden there, and instead you got very ho-hum looking decorations, questionable looking desserts?
No, the decorations, I think the party itself was fine if that room would have been full, but to think you're going to a meet and greet with Joe Biden and then have it be your engagement party, that's where we'd have some issues. I remember in middle school, we didn't even say Joe Biden would be there. We threw a surprise party for our friend and for her birthday. And we said that we were going to the mall after, like, she came to pick me up, and she was pissed that she wasn't going to the mall. So I can't imagine a Joe Biden party.
I thought that the decorations were kind of, I wasn't really taken aback by
anything. There was an ice sculpture and like a video montage and stuff.
I thought they were kind of cute. I was apparently watching a Christopher Nolan film when I watched Atlanta, because it was not, I truly believe there were two separate events. I thought there was a Joe Biden meet and greet and Cynthia and Mike's engagement. And I thought, oh, that's neat. Like, I can't believe, like, Portia's effect is very strong. Like, she was able to get Biden. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. And then it was not until Cynthia and Mike were on their way to the engagement party that I turned to Brian and I said, there's no Joe Biden event, is there? And he was like, there never was. Like, I don't know what I was thinking.
I was thinking the same thing. I did not know what was going to happen. I thought that
Are you lying?
Here's the thing. I did not think there were two separate events. I thought that for some reason, because of Portia and everything, and because they're all...
You thought Joe Biden was going to be at Cynthia's engagement party.
Look, Kamala Harris wears sneakers. I thought that there was a possibility that they or that he may be there. They said he wanted the black woman vote. He got it. They said that he wanted it. I thought maybe he'll be there.
I did too. I thought, oh, that's neat. We're going to see them all going to the event, but then they can't film him. Like, I truly thought these women were on their way to a Joe Biden event.
Nikki, were you following or were you just as lost as these two?
I know. I did not know if Joe was going to show. I didn't know if Joe was going to be a no-show. I didn't know what was going on. I was just excited for Cynthia and, you know, the whole thing. But I was like, wow, just Portia must really have some pull. Like, wow, that's incredible. Like, she got Joe White.
I thought it was possible. I will say,
I didn't realize it was a lie. I didn't know how, I didn't know where we were going, but I thought Joe Biden's involved in the Real Housewives of Atlanta. This show's made it. Like,
I felt the same way that Chill felt when they walked in and, like, you know, oh, what's this? Like, I didn't think there was anything like, oh my God, you know, like, you know, I wasn't taken aback by it. And
nothing to write home about.
I thought it was nothing to write home about. In my opinion. And then Candy sang, which I kind of wish she wouldn't. She's not a great singer, but
she is a Grammy award-winning songwriter.
And, you know, this goes into, like, we've had conversations about Escape, the girl group, and we've had a guest on who talked about how Escape, and I was like, but Escape's vocals, if you go back and compare them to other girl groups, were not that great. So, hey, that's all I can say about Candy. But it was great she was there, and that she, you know, Candy's always going to be there. She's always going to support you. Love that about Candy.
That's what I love about her so much.
I love that about her, too. I just, you know, maybe somebody else could have headed that entertainment part.
I thought it would have been nice if there were, like, 40 people in the room.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it could have been, like, a fun vibe.
This should have been at somebody's house.
I was expecting a lot more people to show up with the way she was, like, talking about how they were not ready. But then Cynthia was the only one they were waiting for to show up anyway, besides LaToya. Like, I thought that room was, like, drastically not filled. And they were like, oh my God, Cynthia's here already. What a mess. And then only one other person showed up after that. So what was the issue?
It was a surprise engagement party, right? Like, there couldn't have been someone who was a lookout. Like, Cynthia was halfway in the room and Candy's like, oh, Cynthia's here.
Well, that's what I think, because Kenya, and I think we'll touch on this with our next topic, but I think because Kenya kept it a secret that she was the one that threw it, some people didn't even know that it was an engagement party. Like, Tanya was shocked that it was an engagement party. At least Cynthia got an engagement party out of the deal. If I would have been Tanya and showed up to a Joe Biden party, I would have really been pissed.
I can't believe really how long Kenya I thought. So nasty. How about how she's Joe, like, Biden walking party around and admiring everything? She's like, I love this table.
I really thought he was going to be there. Like,
yeah, I put snow on it. Maybe. And he goes, really? I can really see it.
Donnie, did you know something about that?
Kenya, throw her a bone.
I didn't say anything about it. I just thought it would happen. I thought it would be like, I thought he wouldn't be on camera. The cast. I thought they'd be talking about it maybe afterwards, that it would be a very small segment or very small part of it. And then it'd be like, okay, and, you know, he's there, but now that I think about it, it makes no sense for him to have been there.
Right.
I totally feel dumb about it.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Donnie, you never for a minute thought Joe Biden was going to be a part of this episode.
No. But if you would have liked...
If you would have, like, I'm watching Tenant, trying to see how these storylines and parties converge.
I think if you would have, like, went to the bathroom or maybe fixed a snack real quick, you could have missed, like, the intro to it. But to have, like, Candy or whoever say, like, we had an excuse, and then Shamia texts and say, have fun with Biden. Like, that was clearly the excuse they were just talking about. I was never lost.
Hmm. Well,
I was lost. I was ABC, Matthew Fox, Evangeline Lily lost. Oh.
She apparently can't get along with them and has to lie to them to get them to come to her event.
I mean, that says it all.
Yeah, I mean, that's her own fault, but it's tough. She's going to paint herself into a corner.
Yeah, it's like the Potomac girls when they wouldn't film with Monique. She really had no other choice but to leave. So if all these people are not going to your events, Kenya, you're going to be in that boat soon.
Except for Candy. Candy's always the company man. Like, any character, you can always shoot with Candy. Like, when NeNe was on the outs, Candy was there.
Yeah. And Cynthia, too, is on Kenya's side. But if you don't have the overwhelming numbers, you still can't do group stuff.
Yeah, I thought about it. Like, if she would have thrown an event on her own, I had to think about who do I think would come. And at least half of the women would not come.
No.
At least. So what do we think this is going to get worse? Do we think this is something that she's going to work on maybe or get better because she doesn't want to end up
Mickey shaking her head.
I want to believe that she will work on it and people, you know, she'll turn it around. People want to come to events. But however, her actions and the things that she says and just also the way she puts things. You know, just her approach with certain things, I think deters people from wanting to be around her. So I think when you act like that, you know, you're only really just digging yourself.
Comes back around.
Yeah.
I enjoyed her the first season, you know, it's so interesting to see how they change. Everything changes.
I mean, she's definitely a villain and it's fun to watch, but I understand why the women don't want to be around her. And I do think for the rest of the season, it's just going to get worse because they haven't even found out yet what she said about Portia's advocacy being performative yet. So once that comes out, I can't really see these relationships getting better.
Yeah, because they're very supportive of what Portia is doing.
Yeah.
Too. Somebody online on our Twitter mentioned that they feel that the storyline with Kenya and LaToya, this quasi-lesbian relationship, is fake and that it's like part of the storyline only.
Do they feel like it's like a Kim and Tracy moment? Like a Kim Zolciak, Tracy, remember?
Yes.
Remember that moment?
Good reference, Nikki. Yes. Of course I remember.
A lesbian, never forget. But is that what they're implying? Like that it's for the cameras and it's not for
it's just for the cameras. It has nothing to do with, you know, them really, and that it's just something to give Kenya something to talk about other than her failing marriage.
I could see that with Kenya. I think that if Kenya tried something with LaToya, LaToya would hop on. She would get her gobbler ready.
Oh my gosh. Nikki's hands are her face. She can't handle it.
Not the gobbler.
It's it doesn't feel authentic. And when someone's watching something and you feel like it's a certain way, that's because that's what it is.
Right.
You know, like we're pretty smart. We can tell. And it's fine if Kenya has a new friend, but that's not really, I think, what you do with new friends where everything is like sexual and flirty.
Send them old nudes.
Yeah. Old nudes.
Yeah, because that was not, because Dottie was like, is that really, do you think that's Kenya? I was like, I think that was Kenya. I recognized her feet.
Yes,
those are keeping his feet.
I texted Donnie. I said, "In what world is this Kenya?"
Like two years ago.
Love Kenya. Love all versions of Kenya.
Mm-hmm. She's still beautiful.
That wasn't Kenya.
That wasn't currently Kenya. I do believe it was Kenya.
Currently Kenya coming to Bravo.
I thought that picture was a little shocking to have somebody send, like, you know, as a friend, like a platonic friend. That was a bit risque.
So we talked about comparing vaginas. Do you send your friends nudes? Is that normal?
I have by accident.
What do women do, Nikki?
Apparently, I am not one of the very active ones. I don't know. No. Honestly, look, I have always had like that. I went to Catholic school. Like, I was taught, no, girls don't do that. You be a good girl. And then, you know, I got into the business and I was like, oh my God, I realized if I ever took a photo like that, you know, bad things might happen. Yeah. And so that's always been like, so anytime anybody I've ever dated has asked for a sexy photo, I'm like, yeah, no, absolutely not. So sorry, but I don't know. I've never sent them to my friends, never wanted my friends to send them back to me. And I have attractive friends. They're beautiful people. I just don't want to see them naked.
Right. Call me old fashioned.
Call me old fashioned. Give me an old fashioned. I don't care. Just don't send me nudes. Don't send me nudes.
Oh my God.
Nudes for Nikki Blonsky.
I have gotten some in my DMs, and I tell you, I'm just like, what are people thinking? Like, they're like, you're my idol. What? And I'm like, no.
Oh my God. Good morning, Baltimore.
Yeah. I'm like, you literally just stopped the beat. Like, it's done.
Oh my God. Incredible.
Quinn, well, do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it. We're done with Atlanta. We're done for the night.
How do you eat that?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Good night, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's got to be, you know, Candy's next single. I think we're going to have to call Candy up and see if she could do a remix of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. A candy-coated Baltimore remix.
Oh, my God, yes. And I could see me just going through the streets of Potomac with, like, Robin by my side.
Just, like, jamming. Not Robin.
Singing it. No. I can't have Robin. I love Robin. I love Robin so much. My dad and I are such big fans of Robin. My dad has a massive crush on Robin.
Really?
Did he buy one of the hats? You should buy one of the hats.
I don't know. I'm going to have to buy him one now.
An embellished. There should be an embellished from men.
Oh my God. Yeah. Let's send her this clip.
Oh my gosh.
Nikki, I had so much fun with you tonight.
Oh, well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you all. I had such a blast.
Of course. Yes. Before you leave, do you have any final thoughts?
I'm excited. I hope there has to be a new New York City in the works, right? Because I need more Dorinda in my life.
Well, Dorinda's not coming back.
Got bad news for you, Nikki.
I hate to be the one to prop that to you.
Yeah, Dorinda's out. She's out.
Wow.
But New York's coming back, if that means anything.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get Ramona and Sonia and all of their nonsense. Yeah, I'm sure. Great. Here we go, the Countess. All of them are coming back.
The ragtag crew.
Yeah. No, but I am excited to see where all of their journeys have gone, because there's some amazing women on there. I mean, Jill Zarin, I just think, is just one of the finest human beings. Like, she works so hard for her businesses, and she's just, there are just some really awesome women on Housewives that just, you know, are just out there doing thing. And Teddy Mellencamp, who I just love and adore. So, you know, so it's like, there are some really good people. I know, everybody went, but like,
it's okay. You're allowed to have your opinions, Nikki. We don't judge.
Yeah.
I know. I just wanted to make sure she knew that these people were gone. That's the only thing. Like, you know that everybody you named are no longer housewives. So I'm just like, it kept getting worse. Like, I expected like the next one would be like, oh, I love that.
Brandy Glanville.
No, no. I just have so much respect for Danielle Staub.
No, I mean, what I was getting at is, like, you know, there have been some really dope women to come out of the franchise, and it's been cool to see them, and I've gotten to meet some of them, and they've been nice, and it's always nice, like, when you meet them in real life, and they're really cool people, and yeah. So, yeah, but we'll see, I guess, who's there next season. I don't know. Apparently, I don't know.
That's what we're here for, Nikki.
Well, I'll be tuning in to find out.
Before you leave, let people know where they can find your podcast, where they can follow you to keep up with Nikki. Sure, you can
follow me on Instagram at Nikki Blonsky, NikkiBlonsky. I always spell it because it's difficult sometimes. And then on TikTok at The Real Nikki Blonsky. And you could always follow Nikki Nights on Spotify, YouTube, and iTunes.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much, Nikki.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Wearing an animal head doesn't make you an activist. It just makes you an asshole in an animal head. Know that.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show, be sure to visit buymeacoffee.com/knowthatpod. If you want to join in on discussions about the episodes as they air in real time, or see what snarky things we have to say about the shows we love, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at knowthatpod. You can also follow me personally at realdonniewood on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me, Anthony, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
You can follow me, Quentin Lamar, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter.
Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Bye.
Bye.